This is Dwayne Kaysen, Associate Pastor at New Berean Baptist Church. Leroy Ricks is our Senior Pastor. You're listening to our midweek service Bible study. And our topic for today is the Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit at work. And if you would look at Acts chapter 2 in verses 2 through 4, you'll find a phrase. It says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind." Then it goes on to say, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." We get that from Acts chapter 2 and verses 2 through 4, talking about the Holy Spirit at work. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We're here to study your word. We're looking at how the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives and in this world. We ask you, God, that you would bless this time. Help us to open up our ears and our minds and our hearts to study and understand your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, the Holy Spirit has always been. He was always been shown on earth. We know that from Genesis, we see the Holy Spirit going over the waters. So we know that he's part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so we see him involved in creation. But when Jesus came into the earth as a babe, he was nestled in a cave or a shelter. He did not come with fanfare. He was born into a poor family. He was not known until he was in his 30s. Before he became someone of national repute back in Jerusalem and back in the Holy Land. But the Holy Spirit, when he shows up, remembering that he was sent by the Father and he was sent by Jesus, when he shows up, he doesn't do it low-key. No, he shows up big time. "And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost is present today, and he's still doing a thing here on this earth. There are several things that we'd like to talk to today about the Holy Spirit. We're going to cover that the Holy Spirit convicts in John chapter 16 and verse 8. The Holy Spirit converts, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. The Holy Spirit cleanses, Acts 15, verse 9. The Holy Spirit comforts, John 14 and verse 6. And finally, the Holy Spirit controls, John chapter 16 and verse 13, John chapter 16 and verse 13. So let's talk about this. The Holy Spirit convicts. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. In John chapter 16 and verse 8. Those are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he had begun a discussion with his disciples, telling them that he was going to be leaving them, but he wasn't going to leave them empty-handed, but he was going to send a comforter, a paraclete, someone who comes alongside of, and how he would instruct them, and he was going to give them truth, and that he was going to convict and convince the world concerning sin. So in John chapter 16, in verse 8, we read, "And when he has come," speaking of the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin and wrongdoing. Many will fail to respond to his reproof, but continue to practice their sinful ways unless they repent. They are unfortunately doomed to eternal death. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, listen to what the Bible says when God is speaking with regards to our condition at that time. He says, "My spirit will not dwell with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be numbered 120 years. God is saying that his spirit was not going to be, let's say, at one with man. We know that today the Spirit of God dwells in us. But at that time, the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is also holy, just as the Father is holy, was not going to be dwell with man at that time. For he was mortal, and his days would be numbered. When the Spirit of God reproves us for our wrong words, for our wrong thoughts, our wrong deeds, and our wrong actions, we must ask for his forgiveness and cleansing. You see, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we are not walking with Jesus. We make him sad. You see there in Genesis, the Spirit of God could not dwell with man in the same manner as he had before. That's why man was limited to 120 years. The Spirit of God is holy. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira when they came to drop the money off at the feet of Jesus in chapter 5, the feet of Peter in chapter 5 of the book of Acts? Well, they had tried to a con game. They sold some property, but they kept some of it, but that reported to Peter that they had given all of their profit from the sale of their property, and they were lying. And he says that you lied to the Holy Spirit. Now, that caused some bad times for the two of them, because both of them, one by one, they dropped dead when they confessed and said that they actually had given everything and they were telling a lie. And that just ended their lives. They dropped dead at the foot of Peter, and they came and carried them out, first the man and then the woman. So the Spirit of God does convict us concerning sin. But he wants man to know that he's not walking right, the natural man, and he needs to have Jesus, because the Spirit of God is responsible for having the gospel explained and sent out in the world so that people will come to Jesus, so that we know here that the Holy Spirit, he convicts. And we must ask for his forgiveness and cleansing when we get off the right path. Our second point is that the Holy Spirit converts. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we read, "Repent and be baptized." That is what Peter tells the people when they say, "What can we do after we see that we crucified the Son of God?" He says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Acts 2 and verse 38. Repentance and faith, they bring forgiveness of sins. You must have faith that Jesus is who he said he was. You must have faith that his death allows us to come and have our sins forgiven. And we also must repent, have a change of mind with regards to our status as sinners. The Holy Spirit bears witness through the spirit of one who has become a member of God's family. We see that in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, that his spirit bears witness with our spirit. So he knows, and we will know, that we are indeed members of the family of God. Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. The conversion that brings new life in Christ comes from the Holy Spirit. It gives us a new faith, a new hope, a new love. Why? Because old things, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the old things are passed away. Everything new is come. So we see that the Holy Spirit is involved in the conversion of the sinner into a saint, a child of God. And our third point is that the Holy Spirit cleanses. The Holy Spirit cleanses. In Acts chapter 2, 15 rather, and verse 9, we see how this is done. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 9, we'll start at verse 8. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did. In verse 9, he made no distinction between us and them. This has refers to the Gentiles and the Jews. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. He purified their hearts by faith. That's Acts chapter 15 and verse 9. Some Christians, they fail to make the total commitment to Christ. They are unwilling to give up certain things for Christ. Some of the habits, some of the affections, or some of the possessions. But we know that when we confess our sins, that we can be cleansed, and the Holy Spirit cleanses us and he purifies our hearts. We must surrender everything, unreservedly to Christ. When we are willing to yield and surrender all to him, the Holy Spirit is ready to cleanse and to fill us with his love. He's ready to cleanse and to fill us with his love. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. We can't have our sins purified. That's Acts chapter 15 and verse 9 and 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. The Holy Spirit cleanses. Point number four, not only does he cleanse us, but the Bible says the Holy Spirit comforts. The Holy Spirit comforts. In John chapter 14 and verse 16, says that he shall give you another comforter. Jesus is talking to his Father, about his Father. He will give you another comforter that he may abide or live with you. And for how long? It says forever. That Jesus said that he would be with us forever. How is he doing that? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus was a friend to these men. He was also a comforter. He walked beside them in the same manner. The Holy Spirit is one who comes alongside of. Jesus would no longer be their physical teacher, but they would have a teacher named Holy Spirit, and he would guide them into truth. So the Holy Spirit comforts us in that way, that he abides with us forever as one who comes alongside of us to lead us and to guide us in this world. There's little comfort in today's world. We have war. We have threats of war. We have separations. We have divorces, shortages of food, shortages of medicine, shortages of love. We have inflation, frustration, disappointment. And at the time of this recording, we have the COVID-19 virus that's devastating many people and many things around our nation and the world. But it's good to know that we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Christians are also comforted with the difficulties that they face also. But they can possess the peace and the comfort that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we thank the Lord that he did not leave us without someone that we can hold on to, someone we could trust, someone we could learn from. And that person is the Holy Spirit. Let's look at that fifth point, which is the Holy Spirit controls. The Holy Spirit controls. Now, in John chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus has this discussion. And in John chapter 16 and verse 13, we'll read about howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. That's John chapter 16 and verse 13. I'll start reading at verse 12. I have much more to say to you. This is Jesus talking. More than you can bear right now. Verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father's mind, that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So we see that the Holy Spirit controls. Now let's think about that. After Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that Jesus is giving them the instructions, we call it the Great Commission, if you will, and then goes into heaven, ascends up in heaven, he says to them to go, and they were to wait. So they waited on the day of Pentecost for the Holy Spirit to come. And he was going to bring along with him some power. And it was that power of the Holy Spirit that was seen and used throughout the book of Acts that brought this great explosion of the gospel for men to share this with others by the power that he had, both when Peter began to speak and throughout the times of the book of Acts, that Paul and others began to share the gospel. There are many miracles, many things that brought the attention to Jesus Christ through the Acts of the apostles through the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, many will try to live their lives, man, and depending on their own strength. We know that. I know that I've tried on my own strength from time to time, but we always fail because finite power that we have. It's not sufficient for successful living, for successful ministry. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is God who is omniscient. That means he knows everything. We need God who is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Because we have the Spirit, we know that he gives those who are totally committed through having the power needed for service as they turn to the Lord. The Holy Spirit is able to do that. He assures them of eternal life hereafter. Amen. Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always." So we know that the Holy Spirit controls. I thought about that and how the Holy Spirit does control. As you read through the book of Acts, you'll see that the Holy Spirit, he calls out Barnabas and Paul to be missionaries. He actually calls them out. And so they go out. And in one case, Paul's with his companions, and he's trying to go in one direction, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit forbid them to go. And so Paul and his companions tried to go in another direction, but the Spirit of God did not let them. See, he's directing the mission of the church. He's directing the missionaries to go from one place to another. But we have two cases where the Holy Spirit actually, in controlling the situations, did not allow Paul to go to a couple of places. So Paul then had a vision one night, and there was a man who was waving his hands, saying, "Come over here," referring to Macedonia. Now, when they got there, he didn't meet a man, but he met a woman named Lydia. So if you're like one of those people, like I am sometimes, and we think we're serving the Lord and doing the right thing, we're going step by step, the first person he met was not a man, but a woman. He goes into the city, he begins to preach the word, and there's a young lady who has a spirit in her, an evil spirit, one that is one of divination. She's telling people that we're talking about that these are holy men from God, and they're going to tell people the gospel. And Paul's getting tired of her out-talking him, so he tells the demon inside of her, the spirit inside of her, to come out. Well, that made her masters, because she was a slave girl, they got angry, and they began to beat up on Paul by taking him to the court system, and they gave him stripes on his back. They cut the flesh on his back, and they beat him, and they threw him in prison. Now, let's go back. Paul was having the vision of a man saying, "Come over here." When Paul gets there, he sees a woman, not a man, goes in the city, he gets beat up. Now, one might say, if they were perhaps today, they would say, "I thought this was what the Lord, but I thought we were doing what's in the will of God. I thought we were doing, what's going on?" But Paul didn't do that. After he was beaten and shackled with his partner there in the dungeon of the city jail there at Philippi, under heavy guard, he was singing and praising the Lord. He was singing and praising the Lord. He didn't get discouraged. See, the Holy Spirit was in control. So there was a shaking of the building, an earthquake, if you will. And the doors became open and the shackles came off miraculously. The jailer looked to see if they were still there. And Paul said, "Don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself." And the man immediately said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul gave him the gospel. He said, "To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your house will be saved." So the Philippian jailer took Paul, Silas over to get themselves cleaned up, brought them back. And then he gave them some food. And the next day, after being baptized and so forth, the men of the city came and realized they made a mistake, because Paul was a Roman citizen. He was not supposed to have received the punishment that he got. And so they dropped the charges and asked him to get out of town and to leave. And later on, he met with the saints there, along with the Lydia, the lady in purple seller, that he met when he first got there. So now listen, the Holy Spirit was controlling the situation the whole time. Now, Paul could have had opportunity to tell himself that, no, this must not be the will of God. This must not be of the Spirit. But the Spirit, when he controls things, he doesn't always tell us everything. But if we walk step by step, one day at a time, trying to do the will of God, trying to do the right things, we will find out that the Holy Spirit can actually use us just as he is supposed to share the gospel. I tell you this because the Holy Spirit, folks, he's in control. During this time that we're living in what's called a COVID-19 shutdown. COVID-19 shutdown, it's a virus that is giving havoc to the United States and to the world. Many deaths. Businesses have been shut down and trying to reopen. A lot of confusion amongst all of us. Even church doors have been closed. Some have come back open. But the church, the nation, we're going through something. But I'm telling you that I praise God as I read that story, how even though Paul went through some several bad things happening to him, some trouble, some suffering, as he was trying to do the work of the Lord, the Holy Spirit was in control the whole time. And I leave you with these words, that the Holy Spirit is controlling things right now in the United States, in Virginia, in Portsmouth, in Chesapeake, and Virginia Beach, and Suffolk. He is in control. He is in control. God is in control of the situations. He will bring us out, just as he brought Paul and Silas out of prison. He'll bring us out of this COVID-19 pandemic. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit, the gift that has been given to us. We thank you that you gave him, Father, Jesus, you gave him to us, and he's indwelling in us. And even though we, the church, are not able to be fellowshipping in person one to another, we know that we are still able to fellowship through whatever means you've allowed through technology to do so. And Lord, I thank you that I've seen the evidence of people fellowshipping, even though they've been set apart from one another, because you are in control. We thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.